Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here with Chris and Weasel Weez.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, it was a pretty Weasel Weez. I'll get you right later. I just got confused because, first of all, Weasel was on time. And then we also have Chris in studio because he was able to fit it in with the schedule with doing the firefighter thing and doing all that noble stuff here. It's just a very happy day today here at the Student of the Game. But, you know, Weasel said something interesting here in show prep. You might have heard it as you tuned in to NGSESports.com at some point there in the pre-show banter or whatever. But we talked, what was it? I guess it's two Mondays ago now, Weasel, about the alleged possibility of the rumor of an existence of a maybe Dez Bryant video. I haven't heard a darn thing since. Has anybody else heard anything about it? I haven't heard anything about it.
I did some lookups. I usually look up on Google, just, you know, type in something like that, and then, you know, push search. And the last date that there was something was like March 4th or something.
Which,
it's like,
yeah.
And I guess it's from Pro Football, I think.
Pro Football Talk, if you're talking
Mike
about
Florio,
Florio.
I believe.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about
started
him.
This thing.
Yeah, we talk about him on this show just really to slander him because he slanders so many people and gets so many things wrong. It's very interesting.
And one of the trusted sources out there, Adam Schefter, he pretty much said that he confirmed that there is a rumor about a Dez Bryant video.
Well,
and it's like,
yeah,
really, dude? But now it's like, absolutely nothing out there.
It's
ridiculous, and I hope, you know, some people, I'm sure they have it in the back of their minds that Dez did something, but they planted that seed in a lot of people's minds.
I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, you know, maybe everybody was so blown away by Kurt Schilling's tweet that they forgot about the Dez Bryant potential rumor video thing. Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
You know, and I mean, Schefter, at least he's acknowledging that, yeah, I've confirmed there's a rumor. And then you immediately the next thing should be, and that means nothing.
Huh. The one that about Schefter I was mad at is like, so they asked him something along the lines of, so do you know what's on the video? Yes. Have you seen the video?
No.
And I was like, it made my head hurt. So,
does it star Kevin Spacey? Maybe. All this time, it's not a video. It's the latest House of Cards. I need to start watching that. The latest House of Cards. I haven't yet. But,
and,
you know,
the funny thing, of course, is that he's like, "Oh, I've been working on this since September," and he said he was like making sure everyone knew, like he's been working a lot on it, and it's like
for a rumor.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that. I've confirmed there's a rumor. It's a lot like in Spaceballs where he's like, you and I'm your cousin's brother's uncle's former roommate. What does it make us? Absolutely nothing. That's kind of where that leads me to. I mean, am I far off at this? You can't go wrong with a Spaceball.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd have a beat there. I don't know. Anything to top it with here, Chris?
Yeah, with the Dez Bryant, not really.
Yeah,
nothing.
I think we pretty much nailed it. I mean,
at least he got franchised, so that's nice for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when we talked about that being a good leverage. I mean, I think we won't be talking about that deal being done for quite some time. There's a lot of other stuff they got to get right. Losing DeMarco Murray officially now. We'll get into that more later and just other things they need to shore up a bit. I'm not hearing an awful lot about the Cowboys on defense in this offseason, but as defenses go, there's one team out there that's made a couple defensive moves in specifically acquiring Brandon Browner and Danelle Ellerbe to improve themselves a bit. But that ain't the trade that made the big news early last week. I refer, of course, to the New Orleans Saints acquiring center Max Unger for the Seattle Seahawks acquiring Jimmy Graham. Now, this practically broke the internet when it went down. It might have put a dent in Twitter and a crack in Facebook. Yes, Weasel.
Pretty sure, wasn't it Unger and a first-round pick?
There were some picks involved, too, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, no, thank you for clarifying it. I didn't make that clear. I mean, in this particular instance, I don't think it was a first-round pick, but there were some picks involved. I want to say it was a fifth or sixth or something like that. I could be getting mixed up. But the point is this. The Seahawks get Graham, which, I mean, they need a tight end. And the Saints need to get tougher up front and on defense, and Unger definitely provides them that protection in the middle. Chris, who do you – I mean, the trade, weigh in. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the Saints are kind of scrounging right now because they're over cap.
Yeah.
Or pretty close to it with a big deal they gave Graham years ago, and then also with Drew Brees.
Years ago? So, it was last year.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, Drew Brees was a couple years ago.
Right.
So they needed protection. Their offensive line was horrible.
Yes.
Last couple years. So, I mean, bringing in Unger at center, I mean, that's a good move for them there. Jimmy Graham, they're just really the move to do it was salary cap reasons, I believe.
I think that's part of it. There could be an element that there's something they know that we don't regarding Jimmy Graham's shoulder, perhaps. But, I mean, let's put it this way. Let's say Jimmy Graham with his shoulder comes out at 80%. I'm going to say it with relative confidence that Jimmy Graham at 80% is better than any other tight end option in Seattle. I'm just going to throw that out there.
And the trade was you have Jimmy Graham and a fourth-round pick that went to Seattle for Max Unger and the 31st pick in the 2015 draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so, first-round pick.
So you're right, it was a first-round pick. Okay, my bad.
And, yeah, if the guy's 80%, he's still 6'7", 265 pounds, okay?
Shut up!
It's like, yeah, that's ridiculously tall.
See, but even in this conversation ourselves, we've gone right past the fact that the center of the New Orleans Saints line becomes better than it's ever been in the Drew Brees tenure. Period. That's not even a middle ground kind of thing. Can you name any other center they've had?
Jeff Fain.
Okay, Jeff Fain's good. I think I would put Unger ahead of him simply because of upside. Fain, at the time, I believe, was a bit older.
He was getting towards the end. Yeah. Correct.
I mean, this is Unger's still in his prime.
Fain right now is only 35.
Yeah.
But he's not in the league anymore.
I'm trying to tell
you. He's just early. He grew up in Sanford around the street, too. So I played against him in high school.
Yeah, okay. And, well, you know, long story short, Jeff Fain, a guy who's now retired, is the guy who might be the next best. Did he play with Drew Brees? I don't even remember.
Yes, he played with Drew Brees.
Okay. I couldn't remember. There you go. So
he was with the Bengals.
The Browns the Bengals? At one point.
The Browns.
Yeah.
I think it was the Bengals, then the Bucks, then the Saints, and the Browns.
Okay. Everybody got that? No, I know he jumped around a bit, but yeah, I mean, a talented guy all the way around. But and with all, especially with them making solid Mark Ingram with a contract this offseason as well, you can tell they're starting to move in a different direction.
Right, and there are also reports showing that they're going to be drafting a quarterback high this year.
Okay.
As well, as a backup for Brees, because they don't want to do what Indy did a few years ago.
Yeah. I mean, look, anybody who's insulted by that, if you're somebody who's in the league 10 years and gets insulted by somebody drafting to replace you because they don't want to be left in a black hole once you're gone, you're an idiot. Now, you don't have to enjoy it. I'm just saying you can't be insulted by it. Because, hey, look, you know, every player has a shelf life. I mean, that is what it is. But I can't stress. I like what both teams did here. And I wrote it in Facebook when a friend of the network and actually member of the network and very talented individual, Ernest Christian, EJ put on Facebook, you know, thoughts on the trade. I said on there, I felt like both teams made trades in places where they have a wealth of talent, took a small step back in some place where they were strong, and took a giant leap forward in a place where they were weak. So, you know, there you go. At the end of the day, the Saints still need a lot more defense, but again, they got Browner and Brandon Browner, Danelle Ellerby to help that out. Personally, I'd like to see them do something else beyond Junior Gallette up front, but there you go. I don't know. Anyways, another trade that took place last week that we had not a chance to weigh in on yet. Both you guys are looking at the whiteboard so intently. What's next? I'm going to look specifically to the Philadelphia Eagles. And what are you pointing at?
We'll talk about the other ones later with the Finns.
Yeah, we'll get to
it. Gotcha.
He's mentioning.
Oh, like, wait a minute.
There's another receiver that left the Saints. No, we'll talk about it. I promise. It's over here.
Okay.
It's in this general region.
No, just be still. We'll talk about it later. Yeah. It's all good.
There you go. Well, no, I wasn't moving around. I just waved my hand in a circle. This is radio, not TV. They didn't even see that, Weasel. Chill out. See, I got to say it to myself for once. That's cool. All right. Anyways, Eagles and Rams made a trade. I'm going to try to explain it because it's my job hosting this show. But I'll be honest, I don't get it either. The Eagles acquire Sam Bradford for Nick Foles. So essentially, they trade quarterbacks-ish. I think there was some
draft. I think there were some draft picks involved.
And there were draft picks involved. Weasel's going to jump all over that. But looking at it from the player's standpoint, now, Chris, help me out. If you can come up with a better theory than this, please chime in. But I guess the way that Chip Kelly looks at it with the Eagles, because, I mean, he's got ridiculous amounts of power, unheard. The kind of power you haven't heard of since, like, the days of, like, you know, Mike Shanahan coaching in Denver, that kind of thing. Holmgren in Green Bay, that kind of thing. Or was that Seattle? Well, at any rate.
Well, just to throw it out there.
Yeah, what do you got?
So you got the Eagles getting rid of Nick Foles and a fourth-round pick in this next coming draft. And a second-round pick in 2016 to the Rams for Bradford and a fifth-round pick. So it's one thing just doing a straight-up trade for Foles and Bradford. I think that would have worked. But the Rams are also getting some pretty good draft picks back also.
Well, we've seen what the Rams can do with draft picks based on the draft picks they made in making the trade to the Redskins in the whole situation where Robert Griffin III got drafted, and they got all the picks for it, and each and every pick ended up being a starter, I believe. That being said, I think what Chip Kelly's thinking, and this is the best I can come up with, keep in mind, if anyone else has a better answer, you know how to find me. Hit me up on Twitter, at the SOTG. But Bradford is a starter who's been good when he's on the field. Not great, just good. Problem is, keeping him on the field is the issue.
Torn ACL, I think, most recently.
Correct. Thank you, Weasel. Not to mention shoulder injuries since his relative football youth.
One thing at a time, though. Yeah. One thing at a time, you know.
We're trying to prove. We're trying to actually prove injury proneness, not false injury proneness that was put upon Fred Taylor, for example.
This is kind of funny. Okay, so Nick Foles, he's being traded away. He had a pretty good years up in. Up and with the Eagles.
Well, he had a pretty good year 2 years ago. Last year, he was kind of meh. But.
And then here's a quote from, it's from Paulo Mantino from ESPN. He talked to him and he said, "I just talked to a member of Nick Foles' family. He is absolutely pumped, overjoyed that he's out of Philadelphia."
Now, hold up. Okay, first of all.
Yes!
Oh, hell with this. Cheesesteaks suck. No, I don't think that's how it happened, okay? Look, this is another one of those situations where, like, what are you supposed to... Well, you just got traded from Philly, and you're going to St. Louis. How do you feel? What the hell am I going to do in St. Louis? Stand on top of the arch? Who gives a crap? I guess I won't get fat from cheesesteaks anymore because I love eating them. St. Louis, oh, well, they have barbecue, so that's a bad defense. But you see where I'm going.
They have Budweiser, too.
Hey, I mean, that's a you thing, all right? I don't drink that crap. I drink good beer.
I mean, you gotta look. I mean, another stoked thing about it is 8 of his home games are inside a dome compared to outside the snow.
Wow. Okay, so maybe this time he
went to college in Arizona, so he's used to, you know, warm weather or whatever, so.
But, I mean, they put the mic in your face, and you're like, man, Chip Kelly's dumb. I didn't want to leave. This is stupid. No, he's absolutely pumped. Of course, we're coming up with good reasons where that might be true. I don't know if Missouri state tax, for example, is better than the Pennsylvania's. I almost called it the state of Philadelphia. The state of Pennsylvania's.
I think he was tired of hearing about Marcus Mariota possibly going to the Eagles and and him going to the Rams. It's they got like a it's a fairly young team.
Yeah,
it's a lot of it is thanks to the Washington Redskins, but and he's kind of when he goes over there, he's like the starter. So, and it's a lot less controversy.
I mean, I don't know
being over there.
Yeah, I don't know that it's a lock. He's the starter, but I think you're right. I think he has a legit chance to come out. I think he might have the best chance to come out right now. I mean, Case Keenum,
young team around him.
Case Keenum did move over to the Rams, but yeah, that's no big competition. The Texans started Fitzpatrick over him. So all that went. I'm saying. I don't know. But yeah, so the best thing I could come up with is even though the Rams were done with Bradford, essentially, obviously, because they traded him, and he is injury prone, the way Chip Kelly's looking at it is when Bradford's on the field, he's pretty good. And if he does get hurt, he just re-upped Sanchez for another 2 years, so everything will still be okay. Again, I didn't say this was sound logic. This is the best that I can come up with. Can anybody come up with a better reason to do this trade?
I've heard that possibly with having Sam Bradford, there's a team, I think I was reading over NFL.com or something like that. They were saying that some team was going to offer him like a first round pick for Bradford. So my thinking is that they're going to try to maybe put him in a trade during draft day.
Okay.
To possibly move up, because the Titans, maybe they want Bradford.
I was about to say.
I don't know. But if they can include him, and it's going to take a lot more than just Bradford, but maybe that's where Chip Kelly's thinking, like using him as, you know, an injury-prone guy as trade bait.
No, I don't know.
Because he gave up its draft picks, too.
Who's the third draft pick? I haven't checked yet. But there's been talk that the Titans may actually pass on Mariota. Mm-hmm. I don't buy it. I'm just saying it's there.
What's his name? I'll never quarterback. Forget.
It's Mettenberger.
Let's see.
Zach Mettenberger. That's who they're in love with, I tell you.
Yeah, because Jake Locker retired
this
past
week. Yes, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, yeah.
He retired, so I think pretty much everyone's thinking because you stunk.
Well, I mean, and he also was getting sick of getting beaten like a rag doll, I'm sure. You know. So,
Jags got number 3. Just saying.
The Jags do have number 3. Yeah. Okay, well, they're not going to go for a quarterback.
Raiders are number 4.
No. Okay.
It's not if you're going to go for a quarterback.
Skins are number 5. Jets are 6.
Okay.
Bears are 7.
I don't think the Skins would, but there's a chance that Jay Gruden would do that in this situation because things are going so swimmingly well with
RG3 and Cousins.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
Jacksonville, I think that's something that they would that
Bortles, really?
Well, with they have Bortles, I think they should trade it. If someone wants Mariota, right now I'm only hearing the Eagles, but the thing is that you could build a lot if you trade back.
Okay.
If the Jags can go back, I don't think they're going to go all the way to 21 or how they're going to Eagles are going
to
do that.
So what you're trying to say is they should use that to build some offensive line talent because they have a buttload of young, talented receivers. Their defense is certainly passable. And then all of a sudden the Jacksonville Jaguars rise up to the Jags of the 90s. Yep. No, let's not go ridiculous.
Yeah, because the Jags could probably trade down to 20 with the Eagles and get two future first-round picks.
Easily.
With that.
Easily.
Plus this year's first-round pick. You know, swap first-round picks this year. This plus two other first-round picks for that.
Because
would they want two more? I'm thinking they get the next the one next year.
Next year and then
and
one.
And then a second this year if there's a player they like, too.
The crazy thing about it is that just it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
You had a close trade with removing up to number 2 was with the Redskins moving from
3 years ago.
Yeah. 3 years ago. That sounds right.
It was 2012, trust me.
Moving from number 5 to number 2,
yeah.
And it cost them, I guess it was three first-round draft picks, a second-round pick, and some players I think possibly were involved. But with Chip Kelly, the thing is he's got to move from 20 to 2 or something.
Well,
how that's going to happen, I don't know, but...
First of all, be careful using that comparison, Weasel, okay? Because you and I both know that Randy Moss in his career was traded for what we would call a pack of Skittles, a.k.a. a 6th-round pick that became Napoleon Harris, all right?
Well, it was also the number 7 overall pick, so if they used it to pick someone better, it would have maybe...
What are you talking about?
You said Skittles.
Pack of Skittles,
They traded a pack of Skittles, but also it was for the number 7 overall pick in the first round where they got Troy Williamson.
And how'd that go?
Yeah, it didn't go well.
Okay, so shut up. Yeah. Now.
But I'm saying, he turned out to be not very good, but...
He was bad.
If they picked someone like maybe Sean Merriman and he like blew up in Minnesota...
Okay, well...
That's all I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying. Let's not get too far off the tangent. What I'm trying to say is this. The the Rams had so many draft picks I mean, it was, you get a draft pick, and you get a draft, everybody gets a draft pick. No, I don't think that's something you would use as a typical exchange, right?
It's just moving up from one spot to another. And it must have been like, what, 9 years ago or so with Eli Manning and the Phillip Rivers. I think moving up from number one to number four.
But again, an extenuating circumstance where, you know, Eli was like, I don't want to play here. So again, not saying you're wrong. I'm stoked that you
still
remember
need to
all
be
this.
Compensated. So that's all.
Right, right. No, but they had. I'm drawing a blank. Who was it that tried to draft Eli and couldn't?
To Chargers.
Chargers. There we go. Yeah, duh. Because Phillip Rivers ended up there. That was my bad. So he goes, I don't want to play for San Diego. Okay.
Kind of just like that too.
Wow. But it's a situation where the Giants were kind of stuck. Or no, the Chargers were kind of stuck because they've already made the pick. I don't know. It's just odd. I'll leave it at that. Okay. But
it's smart they did it the way they did.
Oh, yeah. No one's A. I'm not saying you're wrong on that either. I'm just saying you don't have a situation like that where there's a team that obviously has a wealth of picks that comes to mind necessarily. If there is, I just haven't done the research on it yet. But or that there's – I don't see leverage here for something like to get a big deal going here. I mean, as drafts go, how many players in this draft really blow anybody – up, get anybody's attention, really. I mean, we know who Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota are.
There's a couple wide receivers out there. It's the guy from Alabama and
Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think
there's projected about five first round receivers this year.
Okay.
I think the top two wide receivers, though, I think they're upper echelon type. So
okay.
I think
that's one position.
And then, of course, you have Winston. And Marcus Mariota, just say that, you know, suppose he didn't do well at his pro day. And they're saying that he can fall, possibly, which...
Well, if he's going to fall, then they don't need the trade, you know.
So that was something that, you know, it's good to mention because the whole trade thing, he really didn't help out his stock, so...
So the best thing you got is a conspiracy theory to acquire Marcus Mariota, so... that the Eagles can be the Eastern Ducks, pretty much.
Well, yeah, I was what I said last week about Chip Kelly with, you know, he got an SEC player for a Pac-12 player.
Yeah, hey man,
Foles was a Pac-12 player and Bradford was a Big Ten, so there goes that theory out the window.
Wait, Bradford was a Big 12 player, was he not?
Oklahoma? Big 12, yeah, Big 12. Sorry. Yeah. There's only 10 teams.
I corrected someone on college. Boom.
Hey, there's 10 teams there's 10 right teams. Now. They're Big 12.
Yeah, okay, that's why you got it wrong. It's because math. I got you.
Right.
Anyways, let's go with the rest of the stuff that actually made sense for the Eagles, and specifically their complete revamp of their running back core. Last week we had spoken about Kiko Alonso coming in from Buffalo in exchange for... LeSean McCoy. I almost said DeSean McCoy. That's not right. LeSean McCoy. I'm looking at DeMarco. I'm saying LeSean, and I said DeSean. It all just merged in my head. Anyways, so with Shady McCoy gone, in comes Ryan Matthews. Oh, well, they didn't get Frank Gore. Woe is the world in Philadelphia. And then all of a sudden, the main running force for their rival team within the division, DeMarco Murray, boom. Philadelphia Eagle. First of all, I did not see that coming. I mean, I heard, oh, well, DeMarco Murray's traveling to Philly. I'm like, and who cares? They already signed another guy. They got Sproles, too. They're not going to actually let him go within the division. Oh, my God.
It's the kind of thing, I mean, with DeMarco Murray, it's like a lot of people, you know, were pretty ticked off in Dallas and stuff, but he's like, I don't think they really made him an offer or anything like that.
Right.
So it's like, the guy, he didn't force himself out. He was like, I'd like to be a Cowboy.
Look, I agree with you. I didn't want to leave, but y'all wouldn't pay me. It's like, you know, it's like that one individual, like, after you get married, they're like, why didn't you call me? I'm like, you had your chance. What are you talking about? I don't know. For all the crazy stuff that Jerry Jones has done to get the player that he's wanted in the past, he could have done more to get DeMarco Murray. I mean, he did at least franchise tag Bryant. Okay, great. But we saw the steps he took to get T.O. on his team back, you know, years back. 2000, I'm going to get this wrong, three, I'm going to guess. But, yeah, I really think this is just a situation where they just took a big old swing, and it was a big... this isn't a fat guy spike and a fat guy dance. It's a big old swing and a big old miss. That's what it comes down to. I saw the replacements again last weekend.
Yeah, so did I.
Even edited, it's a great movie. I'm trying to tell you. I need a... Is it bad form to put one movie only on your tablet? I mean, I know this is a first world problem, totally, but I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm tangenting here because there's so much free agency going on. I need to breathe. But, yeah, so there you go. I'm going to hit the pop quiz, gentlemen. Eagles, today, better roster. Yes or no? Weasel.
Nah.
Weasel says no. Chris.
I say yes.
I'm going to be cautiously optimistic and say yes because on paper, Bradford does make them better on offense, but I'm a little bit skeptical of weapons lost on defense. We'll get into that more a little later. But before we hit the break, look, whenever the talk of defense on this show comes up, you know, I even have a decal on my wall that Weasel gave me for Christmas. I'm always going to talk about J.J. Watt, right? And in the past, if Jadeveon Clowney is ever healthy, we've had discussions about, like, it would be like, you know, a nightmare for a quarterback. It's like Jason Voorhees and like Michael Myers, like, on the same line, terrorizing a quarterback. There is no way you can make a defensive line scarier. And then they went and did it, guys. They went and did it. This guy doesn't...
Big guy.
Yeah.
The big guy.
This guy doesn't even need to change colors, per se. I mean, logos, perhaps, but it's still red, white, and blue. The fastest immovable object in the world, Vince Wilfork, is now a Houston Texan. Look, I don't care.
To your contract.
I don't care that he's up there in age a bit. I don't. Because a dude like that with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, if he could stay on the field, that's Jason Voorhees, Freddie, and Michael Myers, all in the same line. What do you do?
The interesting thing about the whole thing with Wilfork going to the Texans is that they're going to have a defensive end maybe coming back too. That's not named J.J. Watt. It's the guy that was the number one overall pick last year.
You mean the guy whose name I said a bunch of times, yeah, is Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah. It's craziness.
I like it.
Crazy. So if he...
Scary.
Yeah.
Nightmarish. So, coming soon.
I think I could stay healthy, because that really stunk last year.
That's the true horror movie. Can he stay healthy? I got nothing.
And then after you get past the front three, then you got Merciless.
Yeah, I mean, and Brian Cushing, too, but Marcellus! Merciless! That one guy may name be Merciless, but the three of them combined, Merciless! Forget about it. If Biggie was still alive, that's how... Merciless! There you go. Hip-hop reference for Weasel. He wins. Ding! Anyways, you know.
So J.J. Watt will think he'll break the sack record next year?
No, because there's not enough to go around. I'm just saying. That's a fair question. I don't know. Weasel, where do you come out on that?
I don't know what to think of it.
I'm trying to worry about that. It's too scary. It's too scary.
You can't double team J.J. Watt and Vince Wilfork. You just can't.
No. It's like before, people were worried, like, you know, you can have Clowney and J.J. Watt at both ends. Who are you going to double team? Now you got a guy, Wilfork, right in the middle of it all.
What do you do?
So, good for them.
Yeah, go ahead. Try and run past them up the middle. See what happened to you! Actually, you know the guy who's going to benefit is the other defensive tackle, because no one may know his name, but he's got you've got one jaw. I can see that the lineman meeting after a game where the Texans give up a lot of yardage and they're watching the film. It's like, we gave up 200 yards on the ground. I know it ain't D3. You have one jaw. anyways, on that note, you know, because I said merciless, I'll go ahead and throw Weasel another bone and keep it hip hop. During the break here, you're listening to NGSC Sports. This is the Student of the Game.
To you cowards, then it's gonna be quick. Alright, all your mates have been to jail before. Suck my dick, and all them other cats you run with, get done with, dumb quick. How the fuck you gonna poke the dog or some bum shit? Alright, they go to gun click. Now I'm one shit, all over some dumb shit. Ain't that some shit? Hey, niggas remind me of a strip club. All your mates have been.
And, oh my goodness, it's getting crazy with the music up in hell. No, but anyways, we are back in play here in the Student of the Game. And you know, we got so excited and we had to jump to the break and all that. Let's keep it with the Texans real quick. A favorite of this show, also moving over to Houston to actually augment an otherwise weak receiver core. I know, Chris, I'm not talking about DeAndre Hopkins. It's not always about you, okay? I get it. He's good. He replaced you said all that. I know. It's great. You predicted it 2 or 3 years ago. It's fantastic. I'm talking about Cecil Shorts III, C-S3.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, you got a signature with his shirt. Wow. Weasel, Weez!
Yeah, boy.
Now that you've derailed the show. I know you've got a shirt with his signature on it, Chris, but that's not the point. I mean, seriously, with DeAndre Hopkins, CS3, Arian Foster.
Andre Joe. No, yeah, he was traded.
I see what you did
no,
there.
He was released.
He was released, that's right. But, I mean, okay, so a decent offense. The quarterback situation is interesting. Brian Hoyer coming over from the Browns certainly represents an improvement. But I don't know. Pop quiz. Brian Hoyer, improvement at the quarterback position coming from the Browns to the Houston Texans. Weasel.
Yeah, definitely.
Chris.
For what they had there before, yes, because they also Fitzpatrick left too, and then also Case Keenum's gone as well.
So basically, by default.
Well, I don't know. I still like the rookie that was last year. He's going to be his second-year player, Tom Savage, out of Pitt.
Yeah. I thought it was picked third, but whatever. Yeah.
Tom Savage.
Hey, dude, hold it. Wait a minute. This is a team that has Merciless and Savage. Come on, man. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's why we had to play DMX during the break, because it got all crazy like that.
And then you said that CS3 went there too then, right?
CS3, that's correct.
That's three names right there. You can pronounce their names awesomely.
Trying to tell you. Anyways. So anyways, the Texans are trying to threaten to be a factor in the AFC South, but I'm going to divot away from the whiteboard. I'm going to do a segue right over to keep it in the AFC South. Bam! The Colts did get Andre Johnson. Very interesting concept.
Andre Johnson is very mad at the Texans. So I think he talked to I think it was the head coach, O'Brien, or something like that. And he's like, yeah, hey, Andre, you come back. Yeah, you're only going to get like 40 catches or less. Just letting you know. Type of thing. So, yeah.
So
they were saying, yeah, your productivity is going to go down. And then so he is very ticked off. Very motivated.
Yeah. The last time something involving a Houston franchise, or in this case, a former Houston franchise, went this way was when the Titans said to Steve McNair, yeah, you're old, and we're not trying to pay you a lot, and we're trying to trade you, so don't come to the facility and work out, because we don't want you to hurt yourself. This is like that, I think. Am I wrong there?
No, you're right, and then so what Andre Johnson did was he's like, you know, see you guys, I'm going to go to the Colts. Like I called last year, you know, it'd be a good fit for him. And he probably sold himself saying, hey, you need a running back. I can get you a running back, too. You think it's a two-team thing? And he talked to Gore that night to talk him out of going to the Eagles to go to the Colts with him because they were teammates over at Miami.
At the U, correct. Very interesting. Yeah, I like how you did that. I'm kind of thinking like the Matrix.
It fit together. It fit together.
That's true. Like the villain in the Matrix is all like, just plug me back into the Matrix. I'll give whatever you want. Access codes to the No, I can't do that. I can get you the guy that does. So like the Colts are like, we need a running game. I don't do that. And get you someone who does. Frank Gore.
He is the one.
I don't know.
I mean, last week when we were talking at the show, like after the show, it's like Frank Gore's having second thoughts
about
the Eagles.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the Colts came up. And it's like,
next
day, they both signed there with the Colts.
I literally got a text from G. Stelio, who wrote about free agency on NGSCSports.com. And he said, bleep. I mean, he didn't say it. He wrote it in the text. Bleep! Gore just said it when it was like, oh, crap. I just literally got off the air and said that Gore was talking about the Eagles. So, you know, that was all sorts of trippy, too. But, yeah, at the end of the day, Andrew Luck now has Gore and Andre Johnson to augment his offense. And what I've been saying all week is, well, what about defense? And probably one of the most under-radar signings of the week, bing, Trent Cole, defensive end, over to the Colts. Which means Cole and Mathis, should he return, could be a very interesting duo. Still a relatively weak defense. Let's not go crazy. I mean, Mike Adams is a decent safety. I guess their corners are their linebackers are not good. And their defensive tackle spot has been abysmal for a pretty long time. I mean, I like...
That's the second understatement there.
Yeah. I like some of the guys that have played at that position, but they don't really keep a lot of guys that are beefy defensive tackles up there, too. So, I mean, you got dudes there that are getting Pro Bowl votes up front in the rest of the division. Granted, I don't think the Texans' interior line is that great, but I digress. Yet, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Anyways, long story short, the Colts did get better in the past week. That is for certain. I want to touch on the Finns in particularly this week. I mean, we did leave out something with the Saints when we opened the show, but that's because I wanted to give the Finns their own moment in the sun, so to speak. Just because after getting rid of so much and then so much more by getting rid of Mike Wallace to the Vikings. By the way, does that make you happy, Weasel?
Well, yeah, the trade was you have the Vikings getting Mike Wallace in exchange for actually, Mike Wallace and a 7th-round pick in exchange for a 5th-round pick.
So
the thing is, he's getting paid, I think it's going to be, what, $11 million or $12 million for this upcoming season. But after that, I heard it's kind of, you could, like, void it or something. But next year, he's going to get, you know, paid pretty good. But I think it was a good move for the Vikings. They weren't going to have a number 2 wide receiver named Greg Jennings being on the team because he's going to make literally $11 or $12 million. So they released Greg Jennings.
He was terminated.
They got their wide receiver corps is going to have like Mike Wallace. You'll have some guy named Cordero Patterson. I don't know where he went last year. you got Jarius Wright, who's like a slot wide receiver, kind of speedy guy. And you have a guy, Charles Johnson. He's like a 6'2". I think he's like 214 pounds. And he actually came from the Browns practice squad. And I think he got injured. He was put on like demoted to the practice squad. Norv Turner and his son, I think his son is the receivers coach.
Norv Turner said,
get that guy, Charles Johnson. And he was a big reason why Teddy Bridgewater was very much improved. Now the Vikings get a legit deep threat. And I think they were in the talks with Miami, like it was 3 years ago to sign Wallace. But Miami, you know, offered him more sunshine.
Oh,
and
you don't mean in the talks. You mean they were in the sweepstakes.
Yeah, I think Minnesota, I think they were going to pay him, I think, possibly more. But I think the sunshine was Mike Wallace. Like that.
Good weather, no state tax.
Because he doesn't like, I mean, he hates cold weather. But the thing about it is that he was pretty frustrated about, I think, Tannehill. He did score 10 touchdowns. But the thing was is that he wasn't happy with Tannehill's long passes. So
I'm still convinced that ain't Tannehill's fault either.
We'll see how Teddy Bridgewater works out for him. So, but It's a nice young wide receiver core, so good move for the Vikings.
Interesting observation you make that, oh, well, Tannehill stinks as a quarterback. Oh, Bridgewater, which he did do well his last five games. There's hope there, but you're still rolling the dice a little bit. It's, I don't know.
I'm not, like, sold on Bridgewater's his arm strength, accuracy.
But like, you like his brain?
All over the field, he's pretty good. It's just his arm strength with Wallace. We'll see if he can, get it just chuck it far and see if Mike Wallace can go get it.
Hey,
so.
Man, even Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, Chris.
Ponder's gone from the team as well, finally, with the Vikings.
So we're talking about news.
Right. But also, I mean, also, I could, Cordarrelle Patterson last year, I mean, he didn't have a great hit after his rookie year. Last year, it wasn't all that great because he didn't see eye to eye with the coaches. I could see him probably getting dealt with before the
draft.
Possibly.
Could be.
Now that you have speed with Mike Wallace, they don't really... I mean, they got a lot of speed there, but they just there's issues. There's like animosity between Cordarrelle Patterson and the offensive coaching or the coaching staff last year.
I can't think that unless the rift is that bad. First of all, I'm not saying you're wrong, Chris. I can't think that they're saying to themselves, "We've got Mike Wallace. We about to be all right with without Cordarrelle Patterson." I don't think that's it. But
no.
If indeed there is a rift. That would be enough to tear Patterson from the wings, so to speak. I think you're right, Weasel.
When Norv Turner, when he went to the to be the offensive coordinator for the Vikings last year, I think one of the first things he said is, "Yeah, I wrote 20 plays for Cordarrelle Patterson." Yeah. Seriously, and the guy was supposed to be he's like this electric guy, the quote unquote I can score anywhere on the field type thing.
Well, we've seen it happen,
and the guy just has it's the raw talent. It's just, I mean, can he grow up a little bit and run some routes, be that guy that could be like the not gadget player, but he could do those like reverses. He could do all that.
Versatile is what I think you're looking for,
and he's just got to get in the open space. And Turner's got to figure out a way to get him the ball. In open space.
I think he can be much more than a gadget player guy who is, for example, a Reggie Bush, who is now a 49er, for example. I think he's just more a big play guy that can do a lot of stuff. Chris. Yeah.
What'd they say about Cordarrelle Patterson when he came out of college?
Raw
and potential.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I've said about potential.
Okay. Suck right now.
But you got to look at this. He's. I have a feeling they're gonna get rid of him now with Mike Wallace because where they sit, the Vikings have number 11 pick overall. They're going to go after a wide receiver at that spot, and one in Devontae Parker, who was Teddy Bridgewater's number one receiver in Louisville.
Huh. You may be familiar with him then.
So, what you're telling me is Cordarrelle Patterson is going to go...
They could actually move him... You can move up with him.
Into the microphone, Weasel.
You could actually move up.
But they don't need to move up to get Devontae Parker. They could even move probably down and get Devontae Parker.
So... If the Vikings are looking to do this deal, with whom do they do it?
That's a mystery, though. I'm just saying.
This isn't a fully thought-out conspiracy theory.
Who they can do it with?
I'd say like a Patriots type of team, maybe.
Okay, Chip, that draft pick is too low, though.
Chip Kelly.
20. And they no longer
have...
They're
moving down, but no, I'm just saying, just straight out for something else or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it won't even be a draft pick. Couldn't even be a draft pick. They could even cut him, trade him.
Player.
Something, another player.
I think they're going to cut him.
Right. But.
Oh, no, they're going to get value for him, right. So. I mean, see, that's the thing about it. Like, I think in order for that move to happen in this offseason, it would have to involve a draft pick of some sort or something like that. You give up a proven guy for the quote-unquote lottery of a higher pick. So let's say a Cordarrelle Patterson for a second round pick, for example. I'm not saying it's going to happen. And who knows? Maybe the Seahawks or you said the Pats earlier. I think those picks are too low.
Yeah, just team wise.
Sure. No, team wise they make sense. But I mean, there's plenty of, there's a few teams out there that are in desperate need of a receiver. I mean, maybe Baltimore.
There's actually talks. Baltimore is getting a pick. They're picking a receiver in the first round also.
They couldn't do necessarily bad with filling in either line, offensive or defensive, especially after shipping Hiloti Nada to Detroit, who very wisely made that acquisition to try to fill the gap for Ndamukong Suh.
Half the price, too, about.
Hey, you know what? That's a hell of a deal, if you ask me. Anyway, so we were starting talking about the Finns on here. Let's wrap that up. Let's go ahead. So the Finns traded away, or excuse me, got Kenny Stills from the New Orleans Saints, but they traded away Danelle Ellerbe. Ba-bam! We did mention that. We did not mention the completion of the trade because we want to leave something for this point here. And then they also acquire tight end Jordan Cameron. After transition tagging Charles Clay, that's kind of a I don't get it kind of moment there, but I don't know. Yeah, this makes them a better team, but where I live, the Finns still need an O-line more than anything else, right? I mean, this is a start, and they're in cap hell right now. So
you remember, they cut basically all their receivers, I mean, besides Landry,
although
last year.
Yeah.
The Dolphins.
I think Hartline's gone.
So Hartline's gone, and Wallace now gone. There's two starting receivers. You got Landry coming in as a young, promising. You need another weapon there. Charles Clay, he had his moments. So you get another sure-handed Jordan Cameron there. Yeah, they do need some offensive line help, but they also need receiver help now that they're trying to go a different way, trying to get better weapons. They actually need a lot on the offense of the Dolphins. They need a running game because you know, the Lamar Miller thing's not working that much either. So,
well, I mean, I feel like a running back isn't something you got to struggle to find. You know what I mean? Call me jaded if you'd like.
Jaded.
But part of the reason why the running game isn't working could be that the offensive line is, how they say, trashola. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking too much of it, but you know, that's one of those fun things. This is why we have a show. We talk these things out. I don't know.
And there's talks that they're going to be drafting a wide receiver in the first round also.
That makes more sense. That's not bad. Personally, I'd like to see them, you know, go after a linebacker if there are any good in this class. But
they can get a promising linebacker in the second, third round. They don't need to use it in the first.
In defensive tackle, same thing. I mean, you know, other than Sue, look, who is there? But, I mean, between Wake and Sue, they're not going to concentrate on the line. I know that. I don't know. Anyways, so yeah, there's the latest for the Finns. After shipping everybody out, they're at least trying to do something to put the pieces back together. Going over to the Jets, Chris, there's talk of rebuilding, what is it, the no-fly zone 2.0. Darrell Revis, Antonio Camardi, back in with the Jets. Thoughts?
They're both getting up there in age. I wouldn't go 2.0 because usually 2.0 is improvement. Cromartie's kind of up there. I mean, still Revis is at his prime, but Cromartie's getting up there. He's been around the league since he left the Jets. So I'd say maybe like 1.2 or something, not 2.0. It's good because their secondary has been horrible since Revis, you know, the injury to Revis, and then he left. Last 2 years, they haven't had anyone. That Kyle Wilson project wasn't working out either.
Yeah.
There. Neither is the other corner they picked up from Alabama that they reached on for
gosh.
His injuries.
And I know the guy you're talking about with. I just can't say. I can't remember his name.
He's been injured so much. So, I mean, getting them back in there, that's good. They still need some more help on the defensive side of the ball. They need help everywhere. I mean, they got Brandon Marshall coming in on the offense.
Yeah. And so. That's a big deal. But see, here's where I am with this move. First of all, Revis has proven himself to be a football whore. Wherever the cash is, he's going to play. I don't have a problem with that. That's just the truth of it. It is what it is. Okay? But if I'm the Jets, is it worthwhile to waste money on a cat that's going to be there for 2 years tops and pay him money that I could give to two or three above average players that mean more to the field? Because, guys, look, the truth of it is, okay, you got a good corner, and he'll take one player out of the game. That means what? Right? However, if I have a good line, if I have good linebackers, I can stop an entire unit. I can stop the run. And then, you know, I don't know. Weasel.
I think the whole thing with Revis, one thing about the guy, because he was, you know, I think injured like when he was with the Jets and some.
That's true.
And what the guy did for, I guess, a couple years it was, I mean, with one of which was definitely with the Patriots last year winning
sure.
the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Is that he bet on himself.
He did.
He pretty much said, hey, I'll sign a 1-year deal. No guarantee money. Just pay me type of thing. And what did he get out of it like a couple years later? He got a real deal. And now he's got, what was that?
After being stuck with a team that lost 10 of their last 10 games in a row in Tampa. Don't forget to leave that
yeah,
out.
In Tampa, yeah.
So there were some rags to be accompanied by the riches you speak of. But
yeah, he fought through it and he got his contract. So
yeah, I mean, you know, the Patriots, we've been over it that Browner and Revis represented the best corner duo they'd had in at least a decade. And then, oh, we got a Super Bowl. Ski you guys, go home. Or, I'm kind of surprised it didn't work out that it didn't go the way Andre Johnson said it to the Texans. Screw you guys, I'm a Colt. Screw you, Colt. I've been waiting to say that the whole time. I have no idea why. Anyway, something else I noticed here too. The big talk, of course, last week was Ndamukong Suh going to the Chiefs. His partner in crime in the defensive tackle spot was one Nick Fairley. He's going to the Rams, gentlemen. That is getting to be an embarrassment of riches on that defensive line. Sure, Scott Wells, Jake Long, both going off the offensive line. That kind of sucks. But here's the thing. And I'm just throwing this out there. If somehow or another Nick Foles works in St. Louis, with the quarterback situation being what it is, in the NFC West, and their defense now being what the Rams' defense is, the Rams making the playoffs isn't far-fetched. Russell Wilson, I don't think he's going to have... He doesn't have the gumption to carry a team on his back. Marshawn Lynch is talking about his back hurt and contemplated retirement in the offseason. Sure, the Seahawks, they're not going to repeat in the Super Bowl. Bottom line is that. Because of Lynch's situation there too. And they're also by extension less of a threat to win the division. The Niners, forget it. They're blown up. I ain't worrying about that. I called it right after Thanksgiving. 3 to 5 years before they're even playoff relevant again.
They got Bush. Reggie Bush.
Usually reserved for Super Bowl winners, but you're right, Weasel. Anyways. Is that inappropriate? I don't know. Anyways. then the Cardinals, whose fate is tied to the ACL of one Carson Palmer. I like a lot of the offseason moves they made, Lamar Woodley among them, Mikey Iupati among them.
But I think a quick thing about the Cardinals, yeah. They are actually rumored to be interested in...
You've confirmed that there's a rumor.
It's they want to get Adrian Peterson, possibly trade for him, but... The thing is that his contract is like pretty ridiculous, and then pretty much they're said, yeah, we're not going to trade if you have that contract. So if you hear Peterson restructuring a contract or something with the Vikings, that is mostly maybe a possibility of him going.
Well, if he restructures his contract, that's a possibility for a lot more teams to be interested, including, for example, your theory, sir, the Cowboys,
yep.
Right?
So,
I mean, the Cowboys have attempted to replace DeMarco Murray already with McFadden.
He hasn't been very... The injuries haven't been
injury
very...
Injury-prone. Yeah. Just say it, Weasel.
There's someone pushing for Adrian Peterson. That's the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, yeah, that's what he just said. Right. Yeah. So, I mean...
It's just... When you hear that contract restructured, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, look. We were going to be on Peterson watch anyway, but that contract definitely does make that compelling discussion. I mean, there's not a question there. I mean, regardless of the PR fallout that will occur wherever Peterson arrives. I mean, it's not a shock that he's going to have some value. You know, for me, I think it's safe to say we'll never hear of Ray Rice ever again. But Peterson, I think we theorized on the show that he wouldn't play for the rest of last season and that this season that teams would be making a play. You know, no one's really shocked, of course. And if they are, well, you know, I got a bridge I can sell you, as they say, right? I don't know. So, gentlemen, there's been tons of moves. I'm not sure we've gotten through them all on this show. But today, whose moves have impressed you the most overall? Weasel.
Man, pass. I got to think about this.
The pass? Okay.
No, pass.
You like some of the quarterback moves out there? Oh, pass. Sorry. I just had to talk some stuff. And keep in mind, that doesn't apply just to the ones on the board here, guys. You know. You know, I'll tell you the team. Oh, by the way, I forgot one that's very interesting that's not on the board there. The Steelers acquiring D'Angelo Williams. That is interesting because, look, we on Le'Veon. He's when you want to run the football, Le'Veon. We all know what goes through him, but it's always good to have a committee when you're playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Justin Forsett returning to the Ravens is just a good story as well. But I don't know. I just want to drop those in before the show got finished up. Chris.
Yeah, and also Big Ben just restructured his contract. He got a contract extension also.
Yeah, there you go. He's going to retire a Steeler pretty much.
Right. So, impress me. I think the Colts getting Andre Johnson and Frank Gore with Trent Cole.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the most impressive. Saints, another one. Another name we didn't mention was C.J. Spiller going there.
Yes.
So you have Mark Ingram and C.J. Spiller in the backfield there.
With
Unger and then Ellerby and Browner.
Yeah.
Bringing in Browner as a corner. So that's pretty impressive. Yeah, you lose Jimmy Graham, but
And Kenny Stills.
But they still have
Colston.
And Colston's getting up there in age. They have the other
still a great player.
Yeah, they have the other receiver last year, the rookie.
Cooks. Brandon Cooks.
Yes. They got him coming back, which is more impressive. So between those two teams, I can like toss up between the Colts and the Saints.
Really. I was leaning towards the Colts myself. It could be the Saints by the end of free agency, depending on how the draft goes and various other things. That Unger trade was very interesting. I still don't know exactly what to make of it, but okay, Weasel, what do you got?
I would go back to the Colts. The thing about
it's unanimous.
They got a lot of veteran presence, and I don't think they had to give up a draft pick either.
And it's interesting you mentioned that they cut Reggie Wayne. Thinking, oh, wait, shoot, there is going to be no veteran presence. And then all of a sudden, boom, Reggie Wayne. And then Mathis, of course, is a veteran on the defensive side working with Trent Cole. That could be interesting. That could be compelling, as they say. But you know what else is compelling? Whatever we'll be talking about on next week's edition of The Student of the Game. Of course, I'm Kyle Nash, The Student of the Game, here bringing you the action. Check out the website, www.ngscsports.com. Hey, look, we talked about the Colts. Writer G. Stelio has put up a piece about Andrew Luck and the success he may have in that new system. Should be a good read all the way around. Should be. It is a good read around. It's G. Steel, whatever. And of course, you can find Weasel on Twitter at Weasel the SOTG. You can find Chris on Twitter at Rankin the SOTG. And of course, I'm Kyle Nash, the student of the game. You can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. But until next time, class dismissed.